it's no surprise to us that during the season of Lent, we spend a little time reflecting on fasting. That's clearly one of the central themes of today's readings, fasting. It's no surprise because we know that Lent is a time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, charity. So we reflect a little bit on fasting. Actually, fasting is a universal practice. In every religion, there's some form of fasting. I think the best known nowadays is the fast that the Muslims practice during Ramadan. For one lunar month, that's 29 days, they won't eat between sunrise and sunset. After the sun goes down, they can, I think, eat as much as they want. But anyway, during the day, it's a real sacrifice to not eat at all. And I don't even know if they drink. But anyway, during that month, Ramadan, they really do practice fasting. Lent, in the old days, used to be quite a strict time of fasting. Certain foods would not be permitted for the whole of the 40 days. Nowadays, fasting has shrunk down to 2 days, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, although every Friday is a day of some sort of self-denial. In Lent, no eating of meat, and every Friday in the whole year is still a day of self-denial. Well, when it comes to fasting, this is of the three disciplines, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, fasting is the least popular. Prayer, for anyone who has faith, makes sense. We want communion with God. We want to talk and listen to God. So even if our experience of prayer can sometimes be dry, it seems like it doesn't have any effect. We don't think it's a bad thing to do. We keep trying it. Almsgiving or acts of charity, very obviously a good thing to do. I mean, who could complain about being good to others, especially those in need? But when it comes to fasting, well, it just doesn't make sense. Why do it? If we can see that it will have good effect for someone else, we say, okay, oh yeah, if when I fast, I give the money or the food that I don't eat, I give it to someone else. We can say, well, that makes some sense. Although, if you give up a cup of coffee, what is that, 6 pesos? It's not going to make that much difference for anybody. But if you give up a meal or give up 2 meals, that's enough to really benefit someone. But fasting, the essence of fasting isn't only about what we give to others. There's also this dimension of denying ourselves. And this part just doesn't come naturally to us. Maybe we should set aside, first of all, reasons that we don't have for fasting that some other religions do have. Some religions fast because they have a negative view of the material world. They think that matter is somehow evil, and so in order to be holy, you have to separate yourself from the material world. So you limit your interaction with food and with possessions. That is not a Christian position at all. We don't think that there's anything bad about material things. There's nothing bad about food. It's a good. In fact, everything God created is good. We know that from the very beginning, the creation account. Whenever God made something, he said, it's good. God saw that it's good. So we don't reject We don't think that spiritual things are good and material things are bad. That's a heresy. Another thing that we don't do is we don't reject our own bodies. That's another thing that some other religions sometimes hold, that the body itself is evil, and that the desires of the body are evil. So hunger and thirst and any desire for pleasure or satisfaction is somehow evil. That's not a Christian position. The body is good, and we're supposed to care for our bodies. It's right that we experience hunger so that we eat, so that we take care of our bodies. So that's not the problem. In fact, we have in the Catholic tradition now a whole theology of the body. The body is, not only is it good, but it's a reflection of the goodness of the person. The body itself is an avenue to encountering God. And God took a body. God became flesh. So we should not have any negative attitudes toward the body. That's not why we fast. Now, speaking of the body, we have to acknowledge that since sin entered the world, the body has a lot of disorders, and our appetites are disordered or exaggerated. And one of the reasons why we fast is because we can't let those disorders dominate our life, our relationship with God, or our interaction with one another. This is a danger that we guard ourselves against. It's not wrong to be hungry, but it is wrong to eat more than we should. Gluttony is a sin. Gluttony, it's overeating or overindulging our appetites. If you think of it, it's far more common for people to eat too much than to eat too little. And that's because of that disordered appetite. We eat more than we have to, than we should, or we eat foods that are not necessarily good for us because we just like the taste. That's why obesity is an epidemic these days. Okay, but our fasting is not just dieting. That's a good thing, probably. And that's putting order into our appetites. But fasting is not simply dieting. So we look at the scriptures, and today's readings don't help us that much to understand why we should fast, because both of these readings tell us why we should not fast, or wrong kinds of fasting. When they ask Jesus why the disciples don't fast, he says it's because the bridegroom is here. The wedding guests don't fast when at the wedding. So once Jesus is with us, our reason for fasting is eliminated. Well, then why fast at all? God is with us. No. So it looks like on the surface, like this gospel is telling us not to fast, that's a little too much. We do fast, and one of the reasons why is because of our disorders and sins, we separate ourselves from the bridegroom. So our fasting is to counter that separation we have created. It's so that we make space for the bridegroom. But it's not obvious from the gospel that that's what that means. But think of your own experience. Think of your own experience. When is it easier to pray when you have just eaten a full meal and had a couple of drinks, or is it easier to pray before you eat at all? I hope everyone has the same experience. It's a lot easier to pray on a fast day than on a day when you have plenty of food or too much to eat, because the spirit is more sensitive when we are disciplining our bodily appetites. So I'm not telling you what to do, but just try it out. Your own experience will tell you that fasting is good for your prayer life. The other reading also seems to indicate that fasting isn't such a good thing to do, because the fasting that's being criticized here by the prophet Isaiah is the fasting that makes people irritable and ornery. Here it says, look at what happens when you fast. You drive your laborers, you quarrel, you fight, you strike each other. What kind of fasting is that? It just makes people worse. And it's true. If our fasting is making us less charitable, we're not doing it right. If when you're fasting, you get cranky and impatient, you're better off eating something so that you can be more charitable. So don't fast to the degree that you become a worse person. That's what this reading tells us. So yes, fast, but don't ruin your relationships with God or with others because of your self-righteous practice. Isaiah says, the Lord says through Isaiah, what kind of fast do I want? Well, I want this. This is the fasting that I wish. I want releasing those bound unjustly, untying thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, breaking every yoke, sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked, not turning your back on your own. That doesn't sound like fasting at all. That sounds like almsgiving. But the point is, it's not merely the abstinence or the not eating that is of value on the external level. That discipline of our appetites makes it possible for us, or it should make it possible for us, to be more charitable. Both because we have more to give and because we're not indulging ourselves all the time. We're not focused on ourselves. Fasting is a restriction of that tendency we have to make ourselves the center of our life. Because if we're at the center of our life, then we're not free to love God and love our neighbor. So as we enter into Lent here, we need to make our own decisions about fasting. First of all, to know why we do it at all. Because if we don't have a reason, we won't do it. Or if our only reason is because it's a rule, it won't do us any good. Better to look inside and say, how do I want to discipline myself, deny myself, so that I can be at the service of others, or so that I can be present to God? Or you might have a special intention that gives you a greater motive for fasting. So for peace in Ukraine, for example, or for a special need of one of your loved ones, the sick. So personal intentions or communal intentions can be reminders to us of reasons why we make acts of sacrifice, meaning we're participating in or joining ourselves to the sacrifice of Christ. So yes, it's of value, but only if it's done with the right reason, the right purpose. Remember, Jesus at the very beginning of Lent said, he assumed that we would be fasting, but he said, don't fast in such a way that you attract attention to yourselves. Comb your hair, wash your face. Don't let anybody know that you're fasting. So don't fast for external approval of anybody or to impress anybody. That's just hypocrisy. So do fast in order to be more loving. Do fast in order to be more spiritually sensitive. Do fast to experience solidarity with those who are hungry. Do practice acts of self-denial, because our nature is disordered and we have to put it in its place. Yes, but don't do it to oppress anybody, and don't think that it's just another form of self-indulgence. And if you find yourself getting nasty, or have a little something to eat.